sacrifice. And I join with my life. I sing in vain and high. May the words I say, the things I do, make my life song sing. Bring a smile to you. Let my life song sing to you. Let my life song sing to you. I want to sign your name at the end of this day, knowing that my heart. Let my life song sing to you. Lord, I give my life, I live in sacrifice. Your world in need, be your hands and feet. May the words I say, things I do, make my life song sing and bring a smile to you.
Come on, church.
Let my life song. Song sing to you. I want to sign your name at the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let my life song sing to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let my life song sing to you. Hallelujah. Let my life song sing to you. I want to sign your name to the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing. Let my life song. Let my life song sing to you. I want to sign your name at the end of this day, knowing that my heart was true. Let my life song sing to you.
Know your life song. Make sure your heart's clear. Amen.
Old time religion, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for our mother. It was good for our mother. It was good for our mother. And it's good enough for me. Make me love everybody. Make me love everybody. Make me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It has saved our fathers. It has saved our fathers. It has saved our fathers. And it's good enough for me. I will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Old-time religion. It's good enough for me.
I lost my breath, y'all. Whew.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive a King. Let every home prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns and far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love. Wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
Amen.
Thank you.
never, ever have to be afraid. One thing remains. One thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident, covered by the power of your great love. My death is pain, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up, and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Just got through Thanksgiving. That's something to be thankful for. He said we will always have God's love, and he proved it in his amazing grace when he went to the cross. And he set us free from all our chains. Bridget's going to do Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. Thank you. sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
As the brother was saying about that I'm preaching, I'll add in there, lower your standards a little bit today. I'm just a lay person, and much like you, and just a person who has a heart for the Lord. And I told the pastor that I could never do this, and he asked me. I have a philosophy that I try not to say no when it comes to service in the Lord. And so I said yes, and so I questioned whether it was a good thing. But anytime that something is challenging for us, and we commit to it and we do it, we come out on the other side a better person. So no matter what happens here today, it's a growth period for me. Let me first go to the Lord in prayer, if you'll allow me to pray. Father God, I come before you, just thanking you for the hope that lies within you, Lord, knowing, Lord, that I probably put too much pressure on myself to stand before your people and deliver a message. But Lord, it's in my heart what you have done for me, Lord, and I can communicate that. I can tell others that I am a changed man, and that, Father God, that is the hope within all of us. Lord, we're on a spiritual journey in our life. We want spiritual growth, and Lord, we want to draw ever closeness to the uniqueness of who you are and what you mean in our relationship with you. I need your help in this moment. Be with us in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen. I'm a man who loves deep spiritual truths. I actually have a philosophy that when we get to heaven, we're going to look at the Bible one more time, and we're going to get to see that when we read something in Scripture, number one, we read a historical account as to why something was written, why it is there. Then we extract from that spiritual account a spiritual meaning, a spiritual principle that is applied to our lives. And we might see something a little bit more deeper, something unique. Probably all of us have differences in different passages. And yet we think that, well, okay, we've exhausted that. We've examined everything out of it. And I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that there was layers upon layers upon layers of deep spiritual truths. And so it excites me to look into the Word and try to extract. One of the spiritual truths I want to share with you is Daniel chapter 12. Daniel had been given a vision as to what the nation of Israel would go through in that appointed time. And yet, as things were really getting good, and Daniel desired to know more, he was told, shut the book, Daniel. And he was let know that it's far in the future that these things will take place. And it said that men will run to and fro and knowledge will increase. From the beginning of calendar time to 1750, we were basically a horse and buggy society. And it took that long till 1750 for knowledge to double. From 1750 to 1900, the Industrial Revolution, knowledge doubled again. From 1900 to 1950, knowledge doubled again. From 1950 to 1970, again. From 70 to 80, again. 80 to 90, again. 90 to 2000, again. And when I was taught this, it was in the early 2000, knowledge was then doubling every 3 years. So you can see that there's a fulfillment to that prophecy. And it's kind of amazing that God, probably what, maybe 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, that he envisioned this. Something was never a blip on the radar of mankind, but yet now we see it coming to pass in our day. I look at our age, the church age, and I compare the two ages before us. The first 2,000 years was the age of the patriarchs, and God dealt with individual men. When that period closed and the period opened again at the coming of Moses and the Exodus, we had the Old Testament period. And it began with a renewed hope that the Hebrew people who had been under the bondage of Pharaoh and were in slavery, that they were going to be led out of Egypt into their home country. And God revealed himself to a nation. The patriarch period was a period God dealt with men. Now God is dealing with a nation. We now have the Judaism as a religion. And so that ran about 2,000 years. And then we have now that when that period ended, it ended, you can read it in the book of Malachi, there was 400 years of silence without a prophet. And the people had been killing the prophets. They didn't like what they had to say. We as a human people, we like to do that which is right in our own eyes. And that is a direct contrast with what doing what is right in God's eyes. So we had where the approach of Jesus came, and about 2,000 years ago, and we entered into a New Testament period. And so for these last 2,000 years, we're not quite there. I kind of assigned that the church age officially began on Pentecost, at the cross and Pentecost. And so that was about AD 30. And so we're just a little bit short from being the year 2030. We'll officially be somewhere around 2,000 years old in our church age at that time. But what's unique to me is I look at the 7 days of creation. I look at days 1 and 2, how they were foundational. And everything that happened on days 3 and 4 built on what happened on days 1 and 2. And then I look at days 5 and 6, where everything was in place and creation was ready for God's crowning jewel, the creation of man. And so man came on the scene, and then God said, it is finished, or it is completed. And so we went into a Sabbath rest. Well, I can see that the age of the patriarchs, where God dealt with individual men, is somewhat akin to days 1 and 2. I can see to where the Old Testament period, where you built on to what the first couple of days were, and then you had the Old Testament period, where it was now more established. And then when you get to days 5 and 6, where everything is in place, I think that's the church age. And the church age is God revealing himself through the church, and it's through the world. So you have this progression to where you had God dealing with men, God dealing with the nation, and now God is revealing himself to the world through the church. And so what is the seventh day, the Sabbath rest? That's the coming thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, where Jesus is going to sit on the throne. And things will be changed. Isaiah 65 tells us that the curse will be removed. We'll go back to long longevity, as in the early age of the patriarchs. And that it'll just be war no more. But to get there, unfortunately, we still have to fulfill in this age the book of Revelation. And when I read Revelation, I see war. John did not have the terminology to say, I see a helicopter, I see an airplane, I see a missile. He described it as best he could 2,000 years ago, and everything was mostly designed as a star. But when I read Revelation, you know, it talks about that it said, he called it a horse, said it had a tail like a serpent, a head like a lion. I see a drone, you know, aircraft in that. And so there's lots of things that we can read into the book that we now have understanding today. So as good as those deep spiritual truths are, today we're going to talk about a simple spiritual truth. This is my first time standing before you, and I want to go into the most foundational message that I know of. And it's something that is very visible to me, and that is, if we'll put up John 3:18, let's go ahead and read that verse. Oh, before I read that, let me read something to you. I want to give you a compliment. You know, I'm a greeter, and I get to greet each one of you and see you. And this church, this past year, has functioned because of your faithfulness. I see the people, I see who's here, and you keep coming, and you keep doing your thing. And Isaiah 55 is a very special passage for me, but I want to read you verses 6 through 11. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. To me, that passage is dedicated to me and you. It is dedicated to those of us that we are faithful in the word of God. And it's a fulfillment of that very prophecy. So what you've done this last year in faithfully being here, taking a seat, and being in the service, keep doing it. Keep doing it. It makes a difference to those around us. Okay, John 3. John 3:18. We all know by heart John 3:16. John 3:17 takes it one step further. I'll go ahead and read that. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That passage kind of, I didn't know how to take that in a lot of years, and I feel like in preparing for this message, I knew it was upon my heart to talk about that passage. I've received some understanding, and I'd like to pass it on to you. And what complicates it is the fact that our interpretation of the word belief has to do with a mental connotation. That, oh yeah, I believe. Yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, and stuff. But that head belief is not the same as heart belief. There's a difference. There's a difference there. And I'm around where I work at the shore. There's nobody there that's an atheist. Everybody will tell you they believe in God. But I can see it's a mental belief. Because in one message where they might say, I believe in God, the next sentence is a cuss word, using God's name in vain. And that's not just at my shore, it's everywhere. It's everywhere across America today. And I think it's almost our biggest issue that we have. It's one thing for a person to say, I don't believe, and they've hardened their heart. Unbelief is rejection of the message that you're trying to proclaim. And belief is acceptance. And so I'm around people who have that mental belief that I believe in God, but the fruit is not there. The evidence is not there that they are right with God. And so we've got to examine. And as I will talk about today, I want to talk about the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. And human man is born automatically, physically and mentally acute. From the time we're a child, through nutrition, through exercise, as the years grows on, we will grow. We won't stay the size of that baby anymore. In the fifth grade, we're a certain size. In the 12th grade, we're even a larger, bigger size. And so we have grew physically. Mentally, the education process in the school, we know more in the sixth grade than we knew in the second grade. We know more in the 12th grade than we knew in the sixth grade. So that comes automatically with our societal upbringing, that our physical and our mental grow. And unfortunately, too many people feel that I'm good. I've got this, I'm physically strong. I'm mentally strong. I've got this college degree, and I'm good. But God designed us to be a third party. He designed us to be a spiritual person. And that is the common bond that we here have together. We are people who put stock into the spiritual aspect of our lives. The spiritual makes us better people. When you have people that the human nature is, I've often said that we are either God-centered or we're self-centered. We're one of the two. And if you're self-centered, you're going to want things. You're going to want to be a Hitler that wants part of Europe, that wants to take all of Europe for your thing. You're going to want to be somebody. Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. He wanted Kuwait and everything. But God Center is checking that and saying, Lord, what is your will? What? How can I glorify you in my life? And we as a spiritual people, we have found that. And so for me to take and complete the spiritual understanding, let me just read a couple of things. One of my favorite studies is on, what's his name? Peter. And Peter was an interesting subject. There's so much written onto him, more than the other disciples, that we get an understanding. In some ways, I kind of almost consider myself as a modern-day Peter. That in one moment when Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And, you know, the other disciples responded, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say thou art, or whatever. I don't know where they said Elijah. So, but he asked Peter straight out, and he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter replied, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, you know, gave Peter some accolades. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I think I got it right. And anyway, Peter, in his confession in that moment, he did it right. He did it good. And he goes on. And so a little time passes, and they are in the upper, let's see, wherever it was they were having the Last Supper. And Peter is saying all these things, and Jesus all of a sudden says, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Catch that. Not that you don't fail, but that your faith fail not. That's a hope for us. We can oftentimes feel like we have failed the Lord, but if our faith stays intact, we're okay. We will come back to that. And he says in Luke 22, 31, 32, and when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I can see Peter being perplexed about saying, when I'm converted, Lord, it was just recently that I said you are the Christ, and everything was good, and now you're saying I'm missing something in my life? And so Peter goes on, and of course we know that that very night that Peter's going to deny Jesus three times, and that all of a sudden he goes into this deep grief, that he said, I will die for you, Lord, but he didn't. He, in the moment to save himself, he took and denied who Jesus, that he even knew the man. And so the time passes. It's the 40 days, I think it is, that Jesus has risen from the dead. He's around. And eventually, he and Peter get to meet together on the shore where Jesus is cooking the fish. And Peter goes to him. And in essence, restoration happens there. And Peter is a changed man. And all of a sudden now, that verse, and when you are converted, it takes on a whole new meaning. He got converted. Well, that's a lot like my life. My life is one where I accepted the Lord at the age of 12. But then I did things in the coming years that did not glorify God. And it was a living for self. Southeast Asia, I come out of there a changed man. And I dealt with an addiction for the next 13 years of my life. And so you would say, well, Gary, you got saved at 12. It doesn't mean that the flesh is not going to rise up, that natural man, that spiritual man, or that not the spiritual man, but that natural man is eradicated. He's there. He wants things. He desires things. And what the mental man is trying to tell us to do right. I've prayed for people up here that are dealing with drug addiction, And when I would pray with them, I would later explain to them, I'm saying the physical part of you wants that next fix. The mental part of you is telling you, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay off of it and everything. And you've got this tug of war that's almost equal. Which way will it go? Who will win? Who will lose in the midst of that? And what I try to bring to their hope is put that spiritual man in there. If you bring him alongside, now you've got two out of three that is saying, no, I can walk away from this. I can do better. And so the spiritual man, as we have all learned, is very, very important to me. And so we tend to think that, yes, because I'm a believer, that I'm good. I'm good. Well, I think it's James 2:19, and he says, you believe there's one God? Good, you do well. But even the demons fear and believe. So that tells us right there that throws that mental belief. Is that what we're truly seeking? We go to the scariest verses in the Bible, Matthew 7:21-23. And in it, it says, many will come to me in that day and saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and done many wonderful works and cast out demons? And Jesus responds, depart from me, I never knew you. These people were churched. If they were casting out demons, if they were doing things, they were in the church. Why is not their belief good enough? And the answer is the cross. The cross is where conversion has. Let me say here, I wrote this down. We seek God through belief. We find him through conversion. We approach the cross by belief. We find the power of it through conversion. We approach the cross a natural man. We transcend it a spiritual man. If the best chapter on the spiritual man is Romans 8. And let me see if I can read a few verses out of it. It is, to me, the foremost authority on the spiritual man versus the natural man. Okay. And I did not mark it down in this Bible. I forget what verse is. It's somewhere around verse 6. Romans 8:6, we'll call it. Okay. No, let's go to, let's see. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay. Can you put up that birth logo? Yes. That's the timeline. And on it, we are born. On it, there's the age of 10, there's the age of 12. My friend Miller Thorne and I played Little League Baseball. Goes all the way right on through. There's getting a driver's license at 16. There's going in the military. There's getting married and having kids. There's December 1st, 2019, and I'm standing up here. There's all sorts of things going on that line. It's a horizontal line. There's only one thing that's vertical on that line, and it's the cross. The cross. When do we come to the cross? And if we never come to the cross, if we remove that cross, we remove at the end heaven. The cross is how we get to heaven. And the cross is salvation. I like to think that in the years of me being 12 years old leading up to it, that my mom and dad were leaders in the church and I was going to church, that I had this mental belief of who God is. But on that Sunday, when I went to the cross, when I went forward to the altar, when I came out of it on the other side, that belief was different. It was different. It no longer was it just in my head, it was in my heart. And so then began the journey of spiritual growth in my lifetime. I recognize so many times I like to think about what Paul told Timothy. He said, flee youthful lust. And boy, is that true. I'm glad to be old, you know, and everything that those youthful lusts are gone. I don't have to really deal with them anymore. And so if you're young, yes, stay the course. Stay the course. It's always there. But as we look, I did a little definition here on the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. The physical is our body consisting of bones, muscles, nerves, and organs. Every part is needed to function correctly, but major organs are the brain, heart, and lungs. Diet and exercise contribute to the quality of health. Embraces physical fitness when well, but needs doctors and medication when not well. Originates with conception and grows in time, and is part of the natural man in Romans 8. The mental, the mind in which thinking and rationale are premier, controlled by the brain. Education and knowledge from life lessons determine the practicalness in what the mind does. Subject to good and evil, holiness, which is God-centeredness, and sin, self-indulgence is leading to negative consequences. Makes choices in which the physical body thrives or dies. Originates with natural birth and grows in time. Educational effects from the study of psychology. Innate part of the natural man, Romans 8. The spiritual, the soul of the body and mind. Not physical, but affected by the mental. Not originated at natural birth, but optional through holiness, God-given supernaturally, and imparting from the Holy Spirit of God. Biblical definitions are the new birth, spiritual regeneration, born again. Common analogy by man is it to be an innate part of every person from natural birth, but biblical instruction teaches it to be dormant, inactive, until activated through a spiritual encounter with God. Departs the physical body at death, grows in union with the mind, causing the mind to embrace holiness. Educational effects from the study of the Bible, transitions the natural man into the spiritual man, Romans 8. And I put down at the bottom, I don't know if this is up there, or our closeness to God depends on our surrender to self. I had the 13 years of drug abuse. Then it was followed by 13 years of panic attacks. And I was doing my night classes at New Bern. And so I was driving to New Bern four nights a week. And getting across the Trent River Bridge was hard. And so because my doctor, I didn't go on and see, I just saw my local medical doctor, he would prescribe 20 Valium a month, just a 5 milligram low dosage. And that's not one a day, you know, and stuff. And here I am, and I'm traveling. So here I was halving those things. I was quartering those things, you know, to help me through the trigger points. And that bridge at New Bern, going and coming, was a trigger point. And so, but I got through it. And so because of me having to push myself at that time when I would rather have been a recluse and just stayed home, I was working on my degree, I could go to New Bern. And I remember when it was lifted. I mean, note the equation, 13 years of drug abuse followed by 13 years of panic attacks. To me, that was time for the crime, because I was the guy who was a straight arrow in West Carter, you know, the class of 70, 71. I said the prayer for the football team before we went out on the field. And here I go into the military, and I come back from Southeast Asia, a different man. And so I dealt with those panic attacks for a lot of years. And because you could say that physically and mentally that I was a mess, I was spiritually strong. I had to. My physical and mental had decreased, but my spiritual man was increasing. It was the way to keep my sanity in the midst of all of that. And then after it lifted, Leck and I were driving one day. It was our anniversary. And we drove the New Bern, and I just says, I want to see if I can drive a little further. Next thing you know, I'm in Charlottesville, Virginia. It just had been lifted. Just had been lifted. And I thought I could never. When my mom and them, my daughter was going to Liberty University, and I missed the mountains, and I would have them take videos of the mountains, and I would have told you I'll never see the mountains again. It was too much on me. And all of a sudden, I'm at the base of the mountains, and it's just totally amazing. And so as I physically and mentally started to heal, started gaining confidence, my spirituality started waning a little bit. It's like that to be strong in one, you're weak in the other. Like I say down here, our closeness to God depends on our surrender to self. You want to get close to God, where He's everything, you got to squash self a little bit. You got to put Him in His place. And that's the best way to have a deep, true relationship with God. And so I was maintaining good for a while. And I remember a specific incident where I was physically defeated. I started having diabetes and had some other issues. I was mentally defeated, just down and out, burdened and sad. And for a brief moment, I got spiritually defeated. And I am telling you, it was dark in here. And when I got my spirituality back, it was the first thing that came. It was like striking a match in a dark room. That little glimmer of life, of what it meant to get that back. And all of a sudden, that just all was lifted, and I pretty much lead a normal life, you know, now as it is. But I can see it, you know, being a part of Grief Share, where the stories of people feeling no hope and feeling the sadness, that the physical and the mental, there are times that we can be defeated. But let's never lose that spirituality. Always keep that. Even if in the moment it's not the easiest thing to do, it's wonderful to come in here and be ready to lift your hands and to be ready to shout. Some days are just not like that. It's not like that. But we stay the course, because I have found that if I have any value in who I am today as a person, it was the hardships that I went through that turned me into this man. Had everything have gone wonderful and great and good, I don't think I'd be who I am today, a man who earnestly seeks the Lord. And so all of us in here have got physical and mental things we're dealing with. And we will pray. We will pray. I was devastated that my sincere prayer over Bonnie the other week, I wanted to hear all good after that, that everything is wonderful and is good, and it hasn't quite come that way. The screws have loosened up in your leg and stuff, and I know a God that can empty the hospitals in the next 5 minutes, should He choose to. And why He does it, I don't know. We have the new devotions out. Read tomorrow's devotion. It deals on this same subject. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, will have whatever he says. And our mountains always seem to not be removed when we're asking for them. But yet, we, as my favorite song up here, though you don't move the mountains, though you don't part the waters that I walk through, still I will trust. I will trust in you. And that's almost like a test. Think of the test we took in the sixth grade, that if we failed that test, you've got to redo that material again. But if you pass it, you're ready to go on to what's next, and you can keep that growth process going. And so every time we deal with something negative in our life, look at it as a test and pass it. It's okay to feel down. It's okay to feel burdened and sad. And it certainly is okay to call out to the Lord and say, I need you. But we will get through them. We will get through them. We will be in heaven, and we'll have a good laugh over December 1st, 2019, when I was nervous all about it. I'm going to close this in a prayer. And what I'm asking in this prayer, the general way is an altar call, because in an altar call, not only do you come and you say, I want to ask Jesus into my heart, it also fulfills the confession part, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. I want right where you are, that if you've never had the pinpoint moment of where that cross is, that all these years you have been walking in belief and trusting that my belief has me saved. Certainly, I don't know about the salvation aspect of it. I believe belief takes away the uncondemnation. But I can tell you there's more. Peter will tell you that after he was converted, there was more. And if you want more of God, it takes conversion. Like I say, belief will get us to the cross. The power of it is through the conversion that takes place in them. So if you've never had that pinpoint moment, and this is, I trust the video is going for those who's watching in video. If you can't say that I've had that pinpoint moment where I came to the cross, that I confess my sins and I ask Jesus into my heart, when you do that, there is the empowerment of God. He sends his Holy Spirit. It is an act that he does. The only thing we can do is communicate to him, I desire it. I want it. I want you. I want to be more intimate with you. When you do that, you have sent the message to him that you are ready. I prayed with people that conversion never came, and they died. And I trust that because he prayed that prayer that day, I leave it to God. It's in his hands. But maybe the Lord realized that he's not ready because his life didn't change. There were still drugs. There was still alcohol. There were still things there. But I just say for anyone who has never prayed that prayer, so if you will stand with me. If you've never prayed this prayer, find a way to communicate it to God. Let this be the moment that you come to the cross. Almighty God, we know you are real. Lord, we've seen the evidences of who you are. We see the fulfillment of Scripture, Father God, of where things are coming to pass. Lord, we know with all our being that you are our God. We know that you sent Jesus Christ to a cross, Lord, where the sins of mankind could be forgiven. And Lord, we individually, we come to that cross. We come to this day and we say, here am I, Lord God. I am ready to surrender myself, to live my life for you. I want to experience the gloriousness of the spiritual, to be reborn, to be a new man, to have your Holy Spirit dwelling within me. Will you allow me to use this moment to be your son, to be your daughter? These things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, you were here before the world began.
Above all wonders the world has ever known, of all wealth and treasures of eternal, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Crucified, lay behind the stone.
wisdom in all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you live to die, rejected and alone like a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me.